The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment, I'm talking to you, originally recorded and broadcast on Thursday, September the 4th, 2025, at achshow.com. I will be presenting a show entitled A Weekend with Joy Division and the Mafia. And the time is 1:12 p.m. here in the UK, making it 8:12 a.m. on the east coast of America and coming up to 5:15 in the morning on the west coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. Okay, so this bonus show was made possible via two donations, a £20 and a £25, I received since the last bonus show, which went out on August the 25th, and I thank these kind supporters of the show. For every £50 I receive in donations, I record a bonus show, so if you want to be part of that, the donate button is at the top of my website, achshow.com, and the rest is up to you. Okay, so today's show title, A Weekend with Joy Division and the Mafia, relates to last weekend, actually, when on the Saturday I was stood in a charity shop in Dorking looking at the DVDs just as a member of staff asked me if they could get past. As I moved out of the way, they placed the Joy Division box set, Heart and Soul, in the DVD section, which is described on the back cover as a complete studio back catalogue that comprises 80 tracks, and 4 CDs. With a few exceptions, everything Joy Division recorded and released is contained here. Joy Division 1977 to 1980. It also contained a book about the band, which I read on the Saturday. On the Sunday, I listened to all 4 CDs, which was a strange experience, as when I first discovered them, when I was younger than they were at the time they recorded the material, and now I am more than twice the age the singer Ian Curtis was when he committed suicide at the age of 23. It was an interesting box set, but I only saved the material which I was familiar with, which is the 2 studio albums Unknown Pleasures and Closer, and the 2 singles Love Will Tear Us Apart and Atmosphere, which has its own Wikipedia page that I read to you now from the critical reception section. Ned Raggett of All Music wrote, "Atmosphere is another one of those prime Joy Division songs, like Transmission or Love Will Tear Us Apart, where Martin Hannett's production becomes so essential to the end result that it couldn't have been heard otherwise, noting that, in regard to Ian Curtis's mental state and subsequent death, there's a feeling of a requiem here, an awesome musical farewell." In 2009, NME voted the song number 1 in its list, the 20 Greatest Goth Tracks. Of course, the legendary Russ Abbott would go on to record his own version of Atmosphere some years later, but unfortunately, there is no Wikipedia page for that. Okay, so going back to the reason for the show title, A Weekend with Joy Division and Mafia, I just gave you half of it, so what does the other half mean? Well, the Saturday before last, so nearly 2 weeks ago now, I was in another charity shop somewhere else where I found a DVD box set entitled Inside the Mafia, which comprised 10 DVDs spanning 16 hours. Now, I don't tend to bother with documentaries on the Mafia these days, as I've seen so many over the years, and none have come close to the quality of the 6-hour 1984 documentary Crime Inc. The True Story of the Mafia that you can also find on YouTube. The first hour is outstanding, the rest aren't as good, but I highly recommend it. But seeing that this Inside the Mafia documentary was produced by the History Channel, who did such an excellent job on the prison documentary series The Big House that I mentioned some weeks ago, I decided to give it a go, and it was well worth a watch. There was little I was unaware of, but there was one piece of information that it was worth watching the entire set for, as despite having spent many hours in my younger years watching documentaries, feature films and reading books that focus solely upon John Gotti, I never found this out about him, and it wasn't even from his documentary within the box set. It was in the documentary on Jimmy the Gent Burke, who was portrayed by Robert De Niro in the 1990 film Goodfellas. Well, get this. The Billy Bats character, played by Frank Vincent, who the Tommy DeSimone character, played by Joe Pesci, kills in the opening scene of Goodfellas, was actually a close friend of John Gotti, and as a result, Tommy DeSimone subsequently ended up being killed in the basement of John Gotti's club. Oh, and I also forgot to mention, the Inside the Mafia box set cost me £3, and the Joy Division box set cost me £6. And whilst they were both an interesting reminiscence of what interested me in my later teenage years, I have no plans to revisit them again in the near future. So there you go, that was my weekend with Joy Division and the Mafia, as I wait to see what this weekend has in store. And that little script there was some of my early Monday morning. I had these things that, when there's a few things I want to cover off a piece of material that I've got for you, if there's a few things in there, I know I'm not going to get them all in out of memory. I know I'm going to miss bits. So the only way to do it is to script it. Unfortunately, as you could hear there, I stumbled a few times. I have to go up and down myself on a Word document as I read this to you, and consequently I can sometimes stumble. That's why they have someone doing it for you when you're on an auto cue and something like that. So maybe I would have done better with an auto cue, but I'm not sure how I would get hold of something like that. And I only script really now for those reasons. I'm going to go back to that script because yesterday I had a bit of time. I listened to all the shows I had downloaded for the day, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go back and listen to those two Joy Division albums and two singles. And I just thought, I don't know, I don't want to do it. A few nights before I was going to sleep, it would have probably been the Sunday night actually, and one of these Joy Division songs was going through my mind, and they're very, very dark, you know, and it seemed eerie to me, as if something was trying to get in. Does that make sense? It's probably just my own paranoia and having listened to nothing but, you know, 80 tracks of Joy Division in one day. But yeah, I kind of didn't want to go back. And it is more related to sort of teenage angst than it would be to somebody, as I say, that's 52 years old today. However, it was very well done. The music, the comment that the guy from All Music made about Martin Hannett's production is spot on. Anything that he wasn't involved in didn't really have it's like a soundscape almost that he creates. It's got this certain feel about it that is just only really present on the two albums and a couple of the singles, which is why I took those. But with regard to the Mafia, I have to update you there that I have actually discovered a couple of other documentaries, because what it is this Inside the Mafia DVD box set is basically a load of stories on different people. There's generally at least two on a disc, so you might get John Gotti and Al Capone on one or something like that. Two separate documentaries from the Mobsters TV documentary series. That went out over four seasons. And there's a few, quite a few episodes out there, but very few, it seems, to be able to get them. For example, one of the DVDs in the box set was actually missing. But for the sake of £3, it was well worth just getting to watch the others. I thought, oh, I'll find that on eBay. Can't find it anywhere, you know. Although you can get the box set pretty cheap on eBay and stuff. But I found some other episodes in different places that I'm going to watch, because the production level was very good. And then that'll probably top and tail Mafia stuff for me. I also found a box set called Lords of the Mafia, which focuses on slightly different things like Chinese triads and Japanese Yakuza and all this sort of stuff that, again, I was interested in when I was younger. I wouldn't have got it for £20, but it was a fiver, so I bought that. And I'll see if that's any good. I'm always interested to look at documentary type of stuff out there, especially when I feel that the independent, conspiracy, whatever you want to call it, media is very narrow these days. It just focuses on things like COVID and Ukraine and these different bits and pieces. So we'll get to that a bit later on. In fact, we'll get to that now, as I let you know what I've found of interest in the news since last week's show. Now, I think it was on the last bonus show, I was really getting annoyed about what I was reading in the Daily Mail, and I've dropped the Daily Mail now. I don't really look at it like I used to. That was where I got most of my stories. I find some of it, maybe it's just the way I take it, to be quite inflammatory, and I don't like getting in bad moods about things. And also, when they point out a lot of what you agree with but attribute it to different causes than I would agree with. Do you see what I mean? Little drink of water there. That kind of doubles my frustration. And I've also missed the conspiracy side of stuff that I grew up with. So I found a wonderful new website. And it is called, I'll give you the exact name here, NexusNewsFeed.com. So that's N-E-X-U-S NewsFeed.com. And you just type that in. And I remember, it must be this, because there's something called Nexus Magazine, which is very much like the 40 and Times in the UK. And I'm not sure how often it comes out. I believe it came out of Australia. And it gives you all that sort of weird news that used to interest me, things like that. Still does to a certain extent. And that's why I've got quite a few stories from it for you. But I would strongly suggest that you bookmark this. The only other website that I found that comes close is the oddityCentral.com. Now, that's not been updated since August the 29th, so I hope there's no problems over there. But the Nexus News Feed, it mixes stuff you might see in the mainstream media with, I'll give you an example, Russia, China and North Korea conspiring against the US. That's the headline. That's mainstream media type of stuff. Israel beginning mass mobilization to take Gaza City. That's another mainstream media type story. They all have the date in the bottom right hand corner of the headline. So I just go there each day. And at the moment, so we're on 4/09. So that's 4th of September, obviously. So I'm working my way down to 3/09, which is what I looked at yesterday. But it also has things in, like, there's stories by John Rappaport in here, who's quite well known in the conspiracy fields. And this one that jumped out at me, a lot of people are talking about at the moment. Linda Moulton Howe, is 3i/Atlas a secret government crisis? Now, this is some sort of asteroid, or there's something weird coming towards Earth at the moment. And I've heard other people talking about it in some of the conspiracy shows that I listen to. And it's starting to build up that this could be the big one we've all been waiting for. Do you know what I mean? The big one we've all been waiting for that never happens, which is probably a good thing, because it's one of the devastating the Earth type of events. So that's something that I've been looking at. But if I click on it, I think it just takes you to a video. I did click on it earlier, but I didn't save it. Basically, what happened earlier, I generally record these in the morning, my time, as you know. I was having my lunch and I saw I had an email and I had a donation. And I thought, you know what? I could just do a show this afternoon and surprise you all by bringing out a show Well, what is it? I'm 35 minutes away from when I used to record all my American guests when I was going out 7 days a week. I used to record them 2 p.m. UK time, which would make it 6 a.m. For the likes of people like Jimmy Moglia, people over on the West Coast. And then it would be 9 a.m. for people like Dr. Patrick Slattery, who is more towards the East. But, yeah, I thought I'd look at this. So I got that come through. I thought I'd do the show after lunch. And this article, it says, scientists photographed blue glowing object, fastest object ever recorded, 130,000 plus miles per hour, labelled it as 3i Atlas. And underneath that it says, interview with physicist John Brandenburg, PhD, predicted anomalous acceleration. It's behaving like Oumuamua, whatever that is. This one is going very close to Mars. This looks completely improbable. This object is radiating energy like a star. This object must be artificially powered. And it's a YouTube video by the looks of it. So if you go to YouTube, the title seems to be August the 27th, 2025, is 3i stroke Atlas a secret government crisis. So if you do want to have a look at that, then, oh, there's a link here as well. https://earthfiles.com/Brandenburg, Brandenburg. So there you go. If you want to get the heads up on what a lot of people in the independent media are talking about at the moment, you can go over there. And don't forget to bookmark the nexusnewsfeed.com, which I've only been looking at now for just over a week, and it's replaced what I used to look at lunchtime, being the Daily Mail. I now look at this and click on the different articles, and you're going to get your taste of what I've found for you in the last few days, and see if you agree if this is a worthwhile place to go. Okay, so the first one they're talking about, a paranormal investigator has warned a famous haunted house's new owners about basically living or exposing visitors to a certain house. And the house that they're talking about is the one that was once owned by occult researchers Ed and Lorraine Warren. And for any of you familiar with the Conjuring films, that I think are one of the highest grossing franchises in the history of horror films, there's one in there, I think it was the second one, the Enfield Hauntings, where literally, I'm not joking, I've mentioned this before, there's a bit where a guy comes out from behind a television, and I literally had to keep my light on by my bed for about 6 months. It was terrifying. And I've seen all sorts of things in that vein. But it was the fact as well that it was based on a true story. It's very highly disputed true story, let me give you that. But like anything, good filmmaking like that, it sucks you in. And so even if you're watching something like that that isn't a true story, it looks real to you at the time, doesn't it? But those of you familiar with the franchise will be familiar with the Annabelle doll. And there were films made just about this Annabelle doll. And that's coming with the house, or came with the house, because what these Warren couple did is any sort of artifacts that they came across in their exorcisms, if you like, that they were getting involved in haunted houses or things like that, they would put them in this little museum they had in their house. And many people believe that these things still have sinister forces within them. And for those of you who, you know, like many Christians would dismiss this out of hand, oh, this is all, you know, mumbo jumbo, stuff like that. Dr. Peter Hammond actually witnessed some horrific scenes of possession. I'm talking people actually committing suicide when he was in Mozambique, I believe it was. I believe it was Mozambique. It was one of his early missionary trips, and he was just astonished. And there was this people possessed by demons all the way around him. And it does exist, and it is frightening. And that's why, going back to that experience with that Joy Division music going through my mind before I went to bed, I really did worry, you know, is this actually something sinister and it's trying to get in? I hope that I'm wrong, but I didn't take any chances. So there you go. The people who've acquired the house are, it says somewhere, comedian Matt Rife and YouTuber Elton Castee. They're going to be doing something with it, but this paranormal investigator, Philip Siracusa, has said, you've got to be so careful with stuff like this. It isn't a game. It's not, you know, you see YouTuber, are they thinking that they're going to do a few, oh, look, everyone, look at the, here's the Annabelle doll. Say hello to the Annabelle doll, everybody, and things like that. Well, let's just hope that happens, because the potential consequences could be quite awful. Okay, another story that I heard about is a British pilot. His name is Justin Myers. Claims that he believes he may have located Amelia Earhart's lost aircraft. Now, what he's been doing is he's been studying Google Earth images, where presumably the flight path that she was on was, and he's found a remote spot in the Pacific Ocean called Nikumaroro Island, Nikumaroro Island, which the Google images have revealed some shapes on the east coast of the Coral Atoll that bear a striking resemblance to the wreckage of a small plane, including what he suspects are the wheels, two engines, and the fuselage of a vintage aircraft. Now, this is old school conspiracy theory stuff, folks. Not even theory. This is something that happened. Where did it go? Did it vanish into the Bermuda Triangle? All these different things. So many things hit you, don't they, from different angles. But this is one of those long sought-after answers, like who killed Jimmy Hoffa or things like that. And for those of you interested, it's certainly worth looking into this, because I know there's a great deal of interest in Amelia Earhart and what actually happened to her on that fateful flight. Okay, the last three, we had three articles off Oddity Central since I was last on air with you. There's a guy in China. Now, he was at his pharmacy and he paid whatever he had to pay for birth control pills, okay? But what happened was he got the pills, but the store found out afterwards that due to a technical problem, the sale didn't go through. So they phoned the number associated with the account, which was a phone that he shared with his wife. Now, the pills weren't for his wife, they were for his girlfriend. And what happened was, you can guess the rest, the wife is now divorcing him. The girlfriend didn't know he was married, so she's leaving him. So he's trying to sue the pharmacy for invasion of privacy, because by that phone call, they kind of tipped them both off and have had a significant negative impact on his wife. But there you go. It's one of those weird things going on out there. It's probably best not to have cheated in the first place, but there you go. We've got another story. Oddity Central. Iran's Black Widow can't remember how many husbands she's poisoned. Now, this is 56-year-old Kulsum Akbari. She's accused of poisoning and killing 11 husbands over a period of 22 years. But she says that the number could be even higher. What she was doing was she would marry elderly men and then go on to poison them with diabetes, drugs and industrial alcohol so she could inherit their possessions and dowries. And people weren't suspecting, because the men seemed to die of natural causes because of their age. And also, some of them did have health conditions. But as with anything like this, something finally comes along, and it was the son of her last victim who became suspicious, and she's now accused of killing 11 husbands, but she said the number could be as high as 15. She doesn't remember exactly all her words. So there you go. That's something going on in Iran. And the next one I've got for you from Oddity Central is, I've heard these things before. This is going back to China again. Now, a Chinese 19-year-old, late teenager, he suffered a paralysis in his body because he was keeping his neck bent forward for long periods of time. Why do you think he was doing that, folks? What do you think he might be looking at? A phone, maybe? Well, what happened was the pressure on his blood vessels near his spine became too much. And as a result, he had some sort of blood clot build up there that compressed the spinal cord and caused the body from the chest down to be almost completely paralysed. And the doctors told him that the constant bowing of his head for long periods of time ruptured an abnormal blood vessel in the spinal canal, forming a hematoma and causing acute paralysis. Now, fortunately, they've managed to remove the blood clot and prevent permanent paralysis, and the gentleman in question, Xiao Dong, is currently regaining control of his lower limbs, but he is expected to recover fully. So that gives you something to think about when you're checking your phone next time, doesn't it? All very nice and jolly here. 5G, anybody? All that stuff about 5G? Well, there was talked about 6G, wasn't there? Well, apparently, according going back to nexusnewsfeed.com, China debuts world's first 6G chip. The breakthrough could massively boost service speeds, remote service speeds rather, but critics warn the technology may fuel surveillance and privacy risks. Now, the most interesting thing about the 6G chip, you remember all the 5G cell towers going up everywhere? And all the talk of what was going on, the lockdowns, and people were dismantling 5G towers and they found the word COVID-19 written in them and stuff like that. You never knew if this was some elaborate hoax or if it was genuine, these videos you'd see flying around at that time. But you need these towers to be built because the 5G technology wouldn't work on the old towers. But get this, wireless technologies like 5G are currently limited to certain frequency ranges. However, the new 6G chip reportedly integrates the entire spectrum, 0.5 GHz to 115 GHz, into a compact 11mm by 1.7mm chip, replacing multiple systems that handle different frequencies. This allows the chip to seamlessly operate across low to high bands, benefiting both high demand applications and areas needing broad coverage, such as rural or remote regions. So it doesn't sound like they're going to have to build new towers for these 6G technology. And if that's the case, one wonders why they bothered with the 5G in the first place. With the, let's be honest, it's got to be in the billions, all the towers they've put up around the world for 5G. If they could have just waited until they got 6G, that would run off the existing infrastructure. And according to the Peking University and based in China, obviously, and City University of Hong Kong, it says the all-frequency, again, 6G chip can reportedly deliver mobile internet speeds of over 100 gigabits per second across the entire wireless spectrum, including frequencies commonly used in remote areas. The chip could make high-speed internet more accessible in undeserved regions, allowing the transmission of 50 gigabyte high-definition 8K movie in seconds. So there you go, 6G is on the way, but we're not going to have all these horrible new towers by the sounds of it, which is one positive, isn't it? We'll have to see what the fallout is from everything else. Now, this is something that interested me on Nexus News Feed, because what's happened here, there's a headline, Moscow blasts Iranian media over false Israel war claims. Now, it's a bit complicated, but an Iranian journalist, Mohammed Sadr, S-A-D-R, don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, he claimed in Iranian media that Moscow was an unreliable partner in Iran's recent conflict with Israel and passed intelligence onto the country's air defences, regarding on Iran's air defences to West Jerusalem. And as a result of this, Russia condemned Sorry, the statement that they made, it gets very, very complicated. A Moscow spokesman said, "This statement, so flagrant in its absurdity, compelled even the Israeli Foreign Ministry to respond." Well, and then an Iranian spokesman, Esmael Bakhi, told reporters this week that Sadr's claims are not based on any evidence and do not reflect Iran's official position. So let's sum it up. Some Iranian journalists claimed that not only were Russia not backing their so-called ally, of course they're both in BRICS, Iran, but they were even passing on intelligence on Iran's air defences to West Jerusalem. So that's going to be Israel, isn't it? When I look at this, I'm like, well, this is just some rogue reporter. So why are you going to these lengths? This is the Iranian foreign ministry must respond to this. What, respond to something that an Iranian journalist said? And so I can't say if this is true or not, but for me, the term "thou doth protest too much" comes to mind from Shakespeare. That's the way I see it. If I was Russia, which is unlikely because I'm not going to become a country anytime soon, but I would be thinking, well, this is just some journalist has said something that we deny. Why would you go to the lengths to get the Iranian foreign ministry to come out and make statements on it? Seems very, very odd. Okay, so let's move on to fortune tellers. Now, you haven't heard many stories about Tajikistan, have you? In the mainstream or independent media. But Tajikistan has a very big industry, which is fortune telling. And it's got to such a level, and so many people are getting involved in it because they can make a lot of money out there. And so what the Tajikistan parliament has said is they've got an anti-witchcraft law that they've had going back to 2007. But that's not deterred people from seeking fortune tellers. So they want to amend it to include a fine of up to $80 for anyone charged and convicted of seeing a fortune teller. All right? So I found that interesting anyway. But then when I was on an hour ago, what have you, when I was doing my daily look at nexusnewsfeed.com, France considering fortune teller regulations. The National Institute of Divinatory Arts met with officials from France's Ministry of Labour to sound the alarm about what they see as a growing problem, noting that the country boasts a staggering 100,000 self-described psychics of various stripes. The group, basically, the claim is that only a tiny percentage of them are actually gifted. And the statement is, well, not the statement, but the research indicates that fortune telling in France is a $3.5 billion industry. Presumably that's yearly. And what a lot of the fortune tellers, Youssef Sissoui, told French officials that three quarters of the country's fortune tellers have no knowledge and are only trained to defraud people. He asked for how one could tell the difference between practicing psychics who are honest and competent, which they estimate at 2 to 5%. They said a genuine medium should only need to know the first name and age of their client, whereas a fake fortune teller peppers the person with questions so that it is the customer who provides all the information that is cleverly turned back around on them as divine insight. Now, the actor Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos, who also did The Sopranos, Talking Sopranos podcast, he did a little story about visiting a fortune teller. And this fortune teller was telling him his name. And what had happened, his name, I think his name is actually Michael Imperioli, but somebody made a mistake on his Wikipedia page and said he was born under another name. And he said that this person must have looked at the Wikipedia beforehand and said, oh, I've got a bit of info there. But they didn't know that the Wikipedia was wrong. Something else I can share with you is something I was told. I'm not sure if it's true, but the person is dead and gone now. I'm not trying to do an Albert Goldman on them. I'm saying I'm not sure if it's true. I was told by someone. But one of the most famous psychics in this country was a lady called Doris Stokes. And she, these mediums go from venue to venue. And the accusation was that in the crowds of people waiting to queue up, hoping that they'd be, you know, singled out by her for a message or what have you, she would have people who work for her mingling amongst the crowd. So they'd be bring up small talk and they'd know who they ask certain questions. So they'd get information, which then they could give to her. So she'd know who to pick out. And as a result, would appear that she had some sort of insight into the person. Now, I'm not saying that psychic thing is fake or not fake. I err on the other side, as I mentioned to you earlier. The feelings that I had with that music. And I've actually experienced an event such as that myself, where there was something on the landing just above the stairs between where you go into the three rooms, you know, lounge, bedroom and kitchen. Lounge, bedroom and bathroom, while the kitchen was off the lounge. And it just felt, it wasn't a haunting, you couldn't feel a ghost, but there was just something, just didn't feel right there. And I had someone come in and they said, yeah, you're right, there's something that's got in there. And the solution was to burn sage. Now, I don't even know what sage is. I know you can get sage and onion stuffing, which I don't like. But burn sage, well, that's what we did. And it went. So, yeah. There are things, that's about as close as I've actually experienced. But, yeah, there are things out there. And they're, you've got to be so careful because they're not going to give you a second chance. If they get you, they get you. Okay, so let's move on to sea monsters. Over here in the UK, I remember being quite excited when I was young about the Loch Ness Monster. Now, my granddad told me, he said it's well known that the Loch Ness Monster was made up by a prominent newspaper in the UK that I may have been talking about earlier. That was what he said. I've never seen anything about it. I've looked it up. But it was all made up and known that it was made up, but then it became its own, it metamorphosized into its own legend. Do you see what I mean? Well, we had a National Sea Serpent Day recently that I'm sure you all remember. It was on Thursday, August the 8th. And there is a lake called Okanagan Lake, which is somewhere in Canada, I believe. And what they have in that lake, supposedly, is not the Loch Ness Monster, but the Ogopogo. And the Ogopogo is supposed to be a sea serpent. And a guy that was picked up by, or a resident, took a photo, which could well be a sea serpent in Okanagan Lake. I'm doing really well with these words I've never read before, aren't I? But yeah. Called Ogopogo. So there's your sea monsters for you. I told you we were going to get some real conspiracy stuff today, didn't I? From sea monsters to cattle mutilations. Remember cattle mutilations? This is really taking us all back to late 90s old school conspiracy theory stuff, isn't it? Well, there has been a cattle mutilation reported in Utah. It was back, I think, in August, or no, it was in early July, actually. When a rancher discovered a downed bull on his property in Carbon County. Sensing something unusual about the situation, he reported the matter to law enforcement. Chillingly, a subsequent investigation by the Utah Department of Agriculture and Food led the troubling conclusion that the case was a genuine cattle mutilation. The department's director of animal industry, Leanne Hunting, explained, that's an unfortunate name for the director of animal industry, Leanne Hunting, Well, they explained that their assessment came after investigators eliminated an array of prosaic possibilities for how the animal could have been killed. "We just don't have those factors at play," she observed, ultimately musing, "It does appear to be a mutilation case, which is incredibly rare. As one might imagine, the Carbon County Sheriff's Office is keen to get to the bottom of the strange slaying and has offered a reward for any information that could bring the perpetrator to justice." So, you know, you sort of think, well, some madman could have gone in and cut this bull up or whatever revolting things were done to it. But would you go near a bull? Do you see what I'm saying? When you think about it like that. So it's not. So then you're starting to think about, you know, maybe some big wild animal like you hear about, you know, these panther that's you know, the hound of the Baskervilles, all these sort of things go through your mind. But yeah, things do happen where people get to keep animals like panthers. I mean, Dr. Peter Hammond, he had a baby lion in his care until it got to the age where it was just too big and had to go to the zoo. So, but some people have animals like this, and some people will have them illegally. And then they get too big and they have to let them go. And so they just have to let them out somewhere. So it could be something like that. Or it could be little green men. We don't know. But again, that takes us on to crop circles. Now, for me, crop circles were probably the most boring conspiracy I ever looked at. I really, even if they were UFOs leaving these pretty patterns in a field, you know, it's not like a sighting of a UFO or something like that. It's just like something left behind. But a crop circle was reported near Avebury, Wiltshire, on the 8th of June. And it's called Faultless Circle. And crop circle, Faultless Circle near Avebury, Wiltshire. You can look that up for yourself and see the circle for yourself. And I saw that yesterday and today. There was another article, and it said British cops raise concerns about crop circles. And what they're saying is that, here we are, a British police department in the heart of crop circle country has raised concerns about the mysterious formations that appear in the area every summer. Wiltshire Police reportedly issued a statement addressing the phenomenon that has become somewhat synonymous with the county. While they might look impressive, creating a crop circle without the landowner's permission is criminal damage, they noted, stressing that these acts can cause serious short and long-term damage to crops and fields and may also attract further illegal activity. To that end, the department noted that the appearance of a crop formation is often followed by trespassers, prohibited deployment of drones, and even theft by ne'er-do-wells drawn to the area. Now, some farmers who've had crop circles put on their land have actually charged people money to come in and see them. I remember a documentary, it was something I saw on the television that was really annoyed about it, because some people were admitting doing crop circles themselves, and I believe that they were part of the agriculture industry, maybe farmers or something. And growing up with, you know, my first book on UFOs at the age of 7, and then probably ghosts a couple of years after that, and always being interested in the paranormal and stuff like that, I could always get the sniggers from the people who thought they knew it all. And so when I think of even crop circles that I'm no fan of, as I say, even if they are genuinely done by UFOs, the fact that someone would go out and deliberately hoax them to make people who already have invested a lot of time and probably a lot of being ridiculed by showing an interest in them, that someone's actually out there faking them, I think that that's just disgraceful behaviour. And it really annoyed me when I saw it at the time, and it still does now. Okay, better slow down. I'll be going back to the Daily Mail at this rate. The next thing that I saw is apparently vitamin D can slow biological ageing. There was another article about vitamin D on nexusnewsfeed.com today, apparently it does something else, but it slips my mind now. You'll find it if you go to the website. It's part of the 4th of September stories. Now, I've gradually whittled down what I'm taking. I take supplements every day. I take a multivitamin, and I take turmeric. I take cayenne pepper, and I take ashwagandha, which is ginseng, I believe. And I might actually drop the ashwagandha later in the year when it runs out. I did take vitamin D, but I heard, I think Jim Rizzoli was saying on his show, which you can find, I think it's Rizzoli TV on odyssey.com. Yeah, that's right. He mentioned that vitamin D, it's got something in it that is part of rat poison. So I got my vitamin D tablets out. And certainly the ones that I got did have this same ingredient when I looked it up. And then I start seeing vitamin D being pushed for two, because the other article that I refer to was a sort of pro-vitamin D article as well. So I'm starting to think, well, are some of the powers that should not be trying to get us to take vitamin D for their own nefarious reasons that aren't really, don't really include our health? But I stopped taking it after I saw what was in it. That was the that was how I felt. And the other thing is that there is in every, oh, here we are, I found the article. The other, this is from today, having optimal vitamin D levels helps lower your risk of melanoma. And that's apparently according to a study conducted by researchers from the University of Finland that found that melanoma risk dropped by nearly 50% with consistent vitamin D supplementation, even among individuals with high-risk skin types or previous melanoma diagnoses. That's the top line. But you will find vitamin D in a standard multivitamin, and based upon what I've heard with this other stuff, if I'd have found that the rat poison derivative was not in the vitamin D tablets I was taking, I'd probably still be taking them. But because I found this same ingredient, I was like, I'm not going to go there in the future. Okay, and I think that, oh no, we've got one more. I haven't actually played this. Think I can get away with playing it on a show? Watch Mysterious Boom Rocks Tulsa City Council Meeting. There's a big YouTube video here. Let's hit the play button and see what happens. Probably an advert. Tulsa City Council Meeting. It's, well, it's 2 hours, 6 minutes, so I don't know how long we'll have to wait for the boom. But, yeah, I don't think that we're going to proceed with that one. So let's go back to, just as I click away, you might hear a little boom. Well, we didn't, did we? Okay, so that is all the news that I have built up. So let's see what's going on right now in the mainstream media. And I'm still going to visit the usual places here. So we'll start off with Associated Press, apnews.com is the URL. Top story, Trump asked Supreme Court to quickly reverse ruling that found his tariffs are illegal. And the second headline down, Epstein survivors implore Congress to act as push for disclosure builds. Marjorie Taylor Greene has joined the Epstein survivors calling to release the files. Then we'll go over to Reuters.com. Excuse me. The top story, where does the US get its goods? And it's got a little image here. Where does the US get a third of its coffee? Well, I presume that's somewhere in South America. And then we've got live updates. RFK Jr. faces Senate hearing after vaccine changes. So there you go. Okay, let's move on to the BBC website. Excuse me for a second. Just have a quick drink of water. Okay, so scroll down to the top most read stories. Number 10, Counting Rings reveals sycamore gap tree age range. Number 9, Sophie Turner to play Lara Croft in Tomb Raider series. Number 8, second arrest over racist abuse sent to Jess Carter. Number 7, Don't Say Sorry and Other Key Things I Learned from My Terrifying Car Accident. Number 6, Martha's Rule rolled out to all acute hospitals in England after hundreds of lives were saved. Martha's Rule is apparently that you're entitled to a second opinion, a speedy second opinion, after a young teenage girl was in hospital and they failed to diagnose sepsis. Subsequently, she died. If they had have diagnosed it rather than, you know, diagnosing whatever they did, she'd apparently most likely still be alive. Number 5, Graham Linehan goes on trial over alleged harassment of trans women. Graham Linehan was the creator of Father Ted. So, and he also had some problems earlier in the week coming back into the country and getting stopped and, well, he believes harassed at the border by police over tweets that he'd sent. He's chosen, this is a sort of issue that concerns him and he's chosen to speak his mind about it. I think everyone should be allowed to speak their mind about any issue. I believe that we should have free speech and there should be, it's either free speech or it's not. If any restrictions are put in, it's not free speech, is it? So that's my opinion. And then let the chips fall where they may. And by that, I believe that in the end, truth will out. That's my view, always. And so I get offended by so many things that I read that there are no laws against because they're protected. So it just gets ridiculous, doesn't it? Number 4, grandfather accidentally takes home wrong child from Sydney daycare centre. Number 3, Liverpool parade accused pleads not guilty. Number 2, world's largest sports piracy site shut down by police. And number 1, William and Kate visit Natural History Museum. Let's have a look at this sports piracy site. I presume this is streaming live games and stuff like that. Yeah, illegal streams of live sports events. So, the Alliance for Creativity and Entertainment said on Wednesday it had teamed up with police in Egypt to close down Stream East, which had been visited more than 1.6 billion times in the past year. And it allowed millions to access pirated streams of sports such as Premier League football matches, Formula One races and Major League Baseball games. There you go. Maybe if they didn't make subscriptions to such things so expensive, people wouldn't resort to piracy. How about that? Okay, so let's have a look at the Daily Mail. See what is going on over there. Top story, pictured first victim of Lisbon tram disaster as death toll climbs to at least 16, including German tourist whose 3-year-old son and wife were injured. So very sad, some tram in Lisbon that was an old fashion style tram. I was looking at some pictures earlier. I don't tend to like looking at things like this, but fortunately there was nothing too graphic. But the interior of the tram is just a wooden bench going the length of the tram either side, so there's no seat belts. You can slip and slide off that, and I think a cable went, and so consequently it was on a hill and it just plummeted down the hill at, you know, gravity speed, you know, whatever you would call it, out of control speed, as much speed it could get up to, it couldn't break. And so then it got to the bottom of the hill, hit a building, and caused obviously all sorts of death and injuries, and it's very, very sad. A car drives into a crowd of people in Berlin with many children amongst victims. The incident occurred at around 1:10 p.m. local time on a street in Berlin. So I think that's an article just coming up. Let's hope that I know the suffering there is to a minimum also. Okay, let's now have a look at the independent media. We'll start off with rents.com. Okay, so we'll scroll down to the headline section in the middle. Rubio signals US won't oppose Israeli annexation of the occupied West Bank. Trump following orders, or rather Zionist stooge Trump following orders, written here. Well, I think that Miriam Adelson, was this just in the Independent, or did it make it to the mainstream news as well? Apparently a substantial donation was made to the Trump campaign with the string attached that he would turn a blind eye to what's going on in the West Bank. Now, I never really looked into that, so I can't say if that is true or not. I can tell you I read it. It's not something that came out of my own mind, but I did hear about it. So, yeah, be interesting to see what goes on over there and if the two end up being tied together in the mainstream or independent media in the coming days. Massey says Trump may be covering for friends in the Epstein files. In brackets, how about for himself? And Epstein horror heating up again as Massey and three congresswomen threaten to rock DC to its core. We've got a hurricane about to make a direct hit on Hawaii. So this is what's going on at the top of the Rents website. So expect the Epstein story to be propelled back into the headlines, certainly in the independent media in the coming days. I'd just like to see a conclusion, but I think even if they did release everything, it's like when they released, oh, we've released all the footage of his cell, apart from one missing minute. A lot can happen in 1 minute. If you just have a few things to do, just time 1 minute and see what you can get done in 1 minute. It's quite amazing. I wonder how long it takes someone to suffocate. Let's swiftly moving on. Okay, HalTurnerRadioShow.com. US walks out of Coalition of the Willing meeting on Ukraine. Now, this is new because I only looked at this website earlier and that headline wasn't there. So, it was a meeting in Paris. The US Special Representative Steve Witkoff got up and walked out only 20 minutes into the meeting. And that's about it, really. The Europeans seem to think what they're doing with their military assistance to Ukraine matters. Clearly, the Russians see otherwise. At this point, Russia is undeniably winning on the battlefield and as such has no reason to compromise its goals. The fact that the US Special Representative Witkoff walked out of the meeting after only 20 minutes today does not bode well for the Ukraine situation to be settled diplomatically. So that's the story there. Earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Else's website. And I'm not going to scroll down on this because I already know what I'm going to talk about. Well, I'm going to scroll down because, let me tell you, there's a video at the top. Florida Surgeon General Joseph Ladapo announces the end of all vaccine mandates in Florida. That's 1:51, so I think that's 1:51. So I'm sure you'll all have time to watch that. That's a Rumble video. But what I'm looking for is in the right-hand column, Making Movies by Dire Straits. The whole album is 38 minutes and 17 seconds. It was recorded at the power station in Manhattan during the summer of 1980. And I believe it was released. He's got the date because he's got it further down in this Music of the Day section. So I'm just scrolling down to that section here. But while I do, I would have to say that is one of the best Dire Straits albums. It was released on October the 17th of 1980. Now, Dire Straits, the best way I can describe Making Movies is if you like Brothers in Arms, that's the one you should buy next, okay? Because that's the closest type of thing. The first two albums, they followed a similar sort of guitar style. There was the same lineup in each. The third album is when they started bringing in piano with like Alan Clark and the sound got broader. And there's something about third albums. I remember this because I used to read Q magazine in the UK, which was a music magazine I enjoyed a great deal. Going back to my late teens. And when Tears for Fears brought out their Seeds of Love album in 89 or 90, they'd spent a fortune on it. They'd recorded lots of stuff. They'd abandoned lots of stuff. And Roland Orsball even said at the time that when the record company, he was getting into disagreements with them because, you know, they wanted the new album. The songs from the picture album have been a huge success. And of course, if you leave it too long, then they kind of go off the boil and people find someone else. Not necessarily go off the boil, but people, you know, there's other people all the time that could fill the void that you have left. Do you see what I mean? I remember Lloyd Cole once saying that he saw Chris Rea's The Road to Hell album as just filling in for Dire Straits. Well, I like Lloyd Cole, I like Chris Rea, and I like Dire Straits, but I can see what he means. Anyway, there's a documentary. It's an arena documentary, which was a BBC Two documentary in the UK. It came out in 1980, and it was about the making of Dire Straits' third album. But it's not just about that, it's got other things in it as well. Now, it's a fascinating documentary, and you've got the manager in there, all sorts of people, and the manager's talking, and he's saying, you know, I'm kind of hoping that they'll, you know, develop their sound, change it a bit, develop it type of thing. So, and that's exactly what they did. But this documentary, I tried to find it for you. Apparently it was on YouTube, but now there's just excerpts of it on YouTube. But I did find the one that I wanted. The whole documentary you can get on the Alchemy Live DVD or Blu-ray. But it is a brilliant documentary to watch. It's so personal. Mark Knopfler's in his house in London. Of course, he was from Newcastle. He said, this is the only house I've ever owned. I've never owned a house. Never had the money to own a house, you know. But suddenly he's, you know, making all this money out of his albums, selling throughout the world. He's got his house. And, yeah, it's just got different things about it. But for me, the most interesting thing is the title Making Movies. There's a line in the album off a song called Skate Away, which is the third song on the album. Mark's favourite song is Hand in Hand, he says. I prefer the more rocky stuff on the album. I like Skate Away, I like Tunnel of Love. They're probably my two favourites. But there's a line in there, it says, she's making movies on location. But you will see in the post for this show at achshow.com a link to 5 minutes of this arena documentary. Now, it's audio only, but you don't need to see them, although it is nice in this case, but you know what's going on. But there's an actual song that appears to be called Making Movies, which has got that line in it, but a completely different tempo. And so it sounds like there was going to be a song on there called Making Movies. There's a lot of, oh yeah, in the song that you'll hear if you play it, which gets a bit repetitive and a bit Beatles-like, which wasn't really Dire Straits. So maybe they decided to go in that different direction. They took some of it and made the song Skate Away out of it. That's the way that I see it. There's also a line in there where one of them goes, by the pool. And I wonder if an extract of that Making Movies song that got abandoned, that extract was used in Twisting by the Pool some years later. So my mind was sort of working my way through these sort of things. But a fantastic album. I certainly highly recommend it. And it's definitely one of their best. That's all I can say. But I thank Mark again for the unique nature of earthnewspaper.com. That it isn't just a news site. If you want the news, you can scroll down the main section in the middle. But if you scroll down the section on the right, there's all sorts of different bits and pieces. It's like a, what would you call it? Like a variety column, a panel column. He's got different sections that he has different things in every so often. And it's well worth a look. So there you go. Well done, Mark. Let's finish off then with the beforeitsnews.com top 10. And we've been going just over an hour. I do apologise if I've bored you at all in here. That was not my intention. But let's see if I have, if the Before It's News top 10 will redeem me. Okay, so we'll go down to number 10 when I get there. Oh, I've just gone past it. There you go. It isn't going well, is it? Right, here we are. Number 10. Well, up 11 hours ago, 79 people viewing. Breaking, they wish Trump dead, but wait until you see who actually died and what Clinton was hiding. Number 9. Well, up 10 hours ago, 84 people viewing. Juan O'Savin and David Nino Rodriguez, Gitmo is ready, 9/4/25. The Obama-China connection. Number 8, went up 10 hours ago, 103 people viewing. Karen Kingston, shocking disclosure, 9/4/25, CV19, Vax Truth Awakens Public. Number 7 went up 4 hours ago, 119 people viewing. Ismail Perez, Intel update, hidden story of the Earth Alliance, the Space Force, their mission. Number 6 went up 10 hours ago, 126 people viewing. Jerome Corsi and David Nino Rodriguez, they're dropping names and exposing it all. Number 5 went up 13 hours ago, 137 people viewing. New X-22 report. DS trapped on Epstein. Trump sends message to Putin. Z and Kim stand ready. Number 4 went up 17 hours ago, 141 people viewing. Michael Jaco, dangerous intel 9325. Trump surging federal troops. It's all been done. Number 3 went up 10 hours ago, 235 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted Trump orders full military takeover of LA, Chicago, Baltimore and Boston. Number 2 went up 10 hours ago, 275 people viewing. Kim Gogwan, full situation update. The chaos and rituals worldwide, the real truth behind tariffs. And number 1 went up 13 hours ago, 318 people viewing. Mike King, full intel drop, Trump, Q secret, 9425, NYT, front page, QCOM, special op, get ready for the next phase. Give me crop circles any day. I want to thank all of you for joining me this Thursday. Yeah, Thursday, September the 4th, 2025, for I'm Talking To You, episode 253, The Weekend with Joy Division and the Mafia. I'll be back with you all Saturday. And until then, folks, enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.